Log Talk Radio.
This is the Pro Wrestling Torch, PW Torch Livecast Royal Rumble postgame show here on Sunday night, January 29th, 2017. I'm your host, Pat McNeil. We're going to track down Mr. Greg Parks in just a moment here, and hopefully he can join us on the line. Quite the Royal Rumble we had here. Let's go with the highlights before we start taking calls. The winner of the 2017 Royal Rumble is Randy Orton. Randy Orton came in at number 23 and eliminated Roman Reigns at the end of the Rumble, which was quite the crowd pleaser because there were moments when people actually thought that Roman Reigns was going to win this thing. In the two main matches, it was John Cena becoming WWE World Heavyweight Champion again, some more for the 16th time, as he defeated AJ Styles in what was an absolutely great match. Does this mean Randy Orton versus John Cena at WrestleMania? Well, there are other possibilities, fortunately, because we still have two pay-per-views between now and WrestleMania. Also tonight, it was Kevin Owens keeping the WWE Universal title by defeating Roman Reigns, thanks to outside interference from Braun Strowman, who apparently still is kind of upset with Roman Reigns over that whole spearing thing. Okay, so let's go to a search, and we're going to see if my man Greg Parks has shown up on the line. Hold on a moment. Let's see here. Okay. Is this Greg Parks calling from Skype? Yes, no. Looks like a no right now. All right, we'll put that person back in queue. Let's see. 515-605-9345. We'll run down the entire show in just a moment, bit by bit, but let's go through the other major matches. Neville defeats Rich Swann. Neville becomes the WWE Cruiserweight Champion. This was not really a surprise to a lot of people. Charlotte defeats Bayley, and with the natural selection. So Charlotte wins again on pay-per-view. That makes her, 16 in a row on pay-per-view? Yeah, that turned out very well for her. Let's see what else we have. On the pre-show, it was Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson defeating Sheamus and Cesaro to become WWE Tag Team Champions. Also, Nia Jax defeated Sasha Banks in what was a fairly one-sided contest. And in the six-woman tag team match, it was the team of Becky Lynch, Naomi, and Nikki Bella defeating Alexa Bliss and Natalya Neidhart. And let's see. Oh, gosh. And Mickie James when Naomi pinned Alexa Bliss. So all that went on. This was a good show, and it leads to all sorts of controversy. And since we're talking about controversy, let's bring into the program our own controversial PW Torch columnist, Greg Parks. Greg, how you doing?
Pat, I've been called a lot of things as a columnist on PW Torch, but controversial has never been one of them. So that's a new one for me.
Okay, well, let's address the controversy. What are your thoughts on tonight's show?
I agree with you. I thought it was a good show. I didn't think the Rumble was that strong. I thought it was carried by the matches that preceded it. But, you know, there were moments in the Rumble that I liked, but overall I didn't think it came together as one of the stronger outings as far as the match in and of itself goes.
Okay, is this going to be one of those years when when the winner of the Royal Rumble, while he is supposed to be in the main event of WrestleMania, is not actually in the main event of WrestleMania?
Probably. Randy Orton right now, And there's time to heat him up between now and WrestleMania, but he's been playing second fiddle in the Wyatt family, which that storyline in and of itself has been sort of a mid-card act on SmackDown. So, again, there's time to get that heated up. There's the thought that Bray Wyatt may win the title at Elimination Chamber, lead to Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania, since that's the direction they seem to be going before Orton won the Royal Rumble. Now, the other option, of course, is Randy Orton versus John Cena, since Cena won the title from AJ Styles tonight. At this point in time, that doesn't seem like a really strong WrestleMania direction. You know, with Cena, with so many of his opponents playing the "you're washed up" card with John Cena, I guess I could see someone from his past, a bitter rival from long ago, coming out of the woodwork. Orton and Cena have sort of their careers had paralleled in certain points. So, you know, I think there's a story there, but it just at this point in time does not feel like a WrestleMania match. I think Orton Wyatt, with the Wyatt family exploding, as it sort of did tonight with Luke Harper's actions, I think that's more of a WrestleMania match to me than Orton Cena, despite the fact that Cena is a bigger star than Wyatt.
Yeah, I get that, and I'm not surprised we're going to get, if we get Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt, but I mean, this is for the WWE title, the title. I mean, the one with an actual lineage to it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the tough one. The Elimination Chamber throws a lot of wrenches into the plans. It's not a normal pay-per-view where you'll have a champion defending in a one-on-one match. The champion could lose the title at Elimination Chamber and not really factor necessarily in the decision as far as not get pinned to lose the title. So that's the hard part of predicting the Chamber match, because you can protect the champion who loses in that match. Do they have Cena lose it so quickly? That's the question. I think the top two options right now are for Orton are John Cena and Bray Wyatt. I don't really see, just off the top of my head, you know, we've had only minutes to really process the reality of this. I don't see anything off the top of my head aside from those two.
Okay, now we already have a question from the chat room from William, who asked, can't Randy Orton decide to go against Kevin Owens? Well, I'm certain he can. There's just not any sort of storyline which supports that. And even if Reigns somehow beats Owens for the title between now and then, there's still not any sort of storyline that supports that.
Right. That's always a factor in play, is does the SmackDown guy challenge the Raw side for the title? You could look at it, you know, and it would be different if Roman Reigns was challenging Randy Orton, because Reigns was the one eliminated by Orton. Reigns would theoretically want retribution for that. But to have Orton eliminate Reigns in the Royal Rumble, and then, you know, if Reigns wins the title, say, at Fastlane, and Orton ends up challenging Reigns at WrestleMania, that doesn't make much sense, because he's already eliminated Reigns once. You know, it's not like he's out for revenge, or there's any real, as you said, there's any real reason for him to challenge Reigns for that title.
Okay, but other issues that were set up tonight, unexpectedly, the Bill Goldberg Brock Lesnar storyline continued as Goldberg came out and eliminated Brock Lesnar kind of quickly, but Goldberg was immediately eliminated by The Undertaker. Is there a seed of something there where maybe at WrestleMania or before WrestleMania we get Bill Goldberg versus The Undertaker?
That's what it felt like to me. You know, WrestleMania plans can change, but right now, the way it sounds, Goldberg and Lesnar is as set in stone as a match can be for WrestleMania right now. And they certainly played that up in this match. Goldberg again eliminating Lesnar quickly, which I liked. That was one of the things in the Rumble that I really enjoyed, continuing on that thread of the story between Goldberg and Lesnar. But, you know, something between Goldberg and Undertaker. Now, stylistically, that match, if it were to happen, would not be pretty, I don't think, on a number of levels. So that's a big risk, putting two of your biggest stars in a match that may, quite frankly, stink up the joint. But there's some major star power there from the Monday Night War days, and we know that we know that those in WWE still pine for those days and tend to reward those who were big in that era. So it would not surprise me to see at some point Goldberg versus Undertaker.
That's true. We never did have the Goldberg versus Undertaker match. Even when Goldberg was in WWE, he was on Raw, Taker was on SmackDown. Their paths did not cross. Okay, we have a bunch of people stacked up on hold, and I haven't even gone through the emails yet. We are going to take a timeout here. When we come back, we will start in on your phone calls, and we'll break down hopefully even more of the WWE Royal Rumble. This is PWTorch.com. This is PWTorchLivecast.com, and this is the post-game show. Stay tuned.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
Say, listeners, this is your old pal, Pat McNeil. I don't know if you've heard, but we're having a membership sale at pwtorch.com. As a matter of fact, let's see. We have our VIP sale going now. It includes 1 month of membership. You get the collection of the 2004 through 2016 Rumble roundtables. You get the exclusive second hour of the Steve Austin interview from Thursday as part of it. You'll get to hear the 2017 Royal Rumble roundtable, which will be uploaded probably right after we're done with this program. And you get a whole lot more with Torch membership, but right now you get it for a full month for 99 cents. The coupon code is 17RUMBLE. That is 17RUMBLE with no space on it. You're intelligent people, so I think you can catch on and figure out the rest. Just go to pwtorch.com/govip and enter the code 17RUMBLE and get your month for just 99 cents. It's that simple. All right, we are going to bring Greg Parks back into the program. Your PW Torch top guys are ready to take your calls, 515-605-9345. And we are going to start things off, let's see, we're going to start things off with Craig from Chicago. Craig, you're on the live cast with Pat and Greg. Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
We're doing well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I actually enjoyed this Rumble tonight. It does, though, however, look like it's a big mess, you know, we don't know what's going on. Usually you see the storyline set up in the Rumble and they carry you through the next 2 months, but it's kind of a mess right now. I'm sure they know what they're doing, but when I see Braun Strowman attacking Roman Reigns, and then all of a sudden you got Roman Reigns and Undertaker looking like they're going to have a showdown, could it possibly be where at WrestleMania you have another Cena Styles match for the title? Because right now those two are absolute money. And then you take Roman Reigns again with Kevin Owens for whatever crazy reason, I don't know, but, and then you take Goldberg, Undertaker and Lesnar in a triple threat. Could that be a possibility? Cause I don't, honestly, I don't think Goldberg can go at all. And that's why these matches are like not even 2 or 3 minutes with him. So what do you think? You think that could be a possibility?
Well, I've got to say this. I think that Goldberg went longer tonight than he did at Survivor Series. So that's something. I would question whether Goldberg is going to do any sort of a long match at WrestleMania. Greg, what are your thoughts?
I would tend to agree. He even looked a little tired before the time he got eliminated here. And granted, it was a long walk to the ring tonight. But
yes.
Triple threat, I think the story with Goldberg and Lesnar, I think, is a one-on-one story. And I know we saw Goldberg interact with Undertaker here tonight. I think they probably want Undertaker in a one-on-one match. That way you can get two separate big deal matches with Goldberg and Lesnar in one and Undertaker and someone else in another. You know, I wouldn't completely rule it out if they really feared Goldberg-Lesnar and giving that match any length of time, or feared the shape that The Undertaker is in. He looked like he'd put on some weight here tonight, and what kind of condition he's in as far as his injuries and stuff like that. If he could go an Undertaker-style WrestleMania match, if there was fear that he couldn't do that, then I could see them calling an audible and throwing them all in a triple threat match just to make sure they get on the card. But I would be surprised if that happened.
Yeah, I would too. As for Styles and Cena, we have another SmackDown pay-per-view in 2 weeks, and we know that that's going to be the Elimination Chamber, and it's going to be for the title. I'm guessing Cena and AJ are in it, as is probably Bray Wyatt. We'll see, but it doesn't look like you're going to get another Cena versus Styles match before WrestleMania. And Orton's got the title match at WrestleMania, so that doesn't leave a lot of room.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they'll count the Elimination Chamber as AJ's rematch clause. Otherwise, yeah, Styles-Cena to me is a WrestleMania-level match. The only thing with it is, you know, how does it get better than tonight? You know, what do they do to top this at WrestleMania? That's my one worry for that match. I don't think it's going to happen, because I don't think you stretch it out that long and that far. Plus, it would require, unless they do Cena Styles not for the title, it would require Orton to challenge the Raw guy. So I don't think it's going to be Cena Styles at WrestleMania, although, again, that to me, just based on what we've seen and the build-up to their matches, it's a WrestleMania-type match.
Yeah. Well, there's only one sort of stipulation that you could use to settle Cena and Styles at WrestleMania, and that would be, of course, the Punjabi prison match. And yes, I'm kidding.
Oh, wow. Yes. Imagine the promos leading up to that. You got to bring Kali back for that.
Well, Kali would be the special guest enforcer, I think, for that.
But, of course. I love it.
Yes, that's not going to happen. I'm not crazy about the idea of Cena and Styles not being for the title, though. But then what does John Cena do? That's an interesting question. One I think we're going to get answered over the next couple weeks. What else do you have, Craig?
I don't think Orton's going to be in any kind of title picture. I think this is just one of those years where they just kind of just threw a win on him just to get past this Rumble, so they didn't have Roman get booed out of the arena. I just don't see Orton in the picture at all, to be honest with you. And I'm still trying to figure out where Cena's other title reigns came from, because as far as I know, I've only counted 13 WWF World Championship title reigns. So
I'm sure
subject there, but you know,
I'm sure they'll find them somewhere. I'm not doubting it. I just really don't feel like looking right now. Okay.
Well,
all right, Craig. Well, listen, thanks, and hopefully you'll stick with it, and we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks at Elimination Chamber. Okay, Craig drops off, and that opens up a line for you at 515-605-9345. Let's see, VIP members going to the front of the line. We have Joe from Virginia. Joe, you're on the live cast with Pat and Greg. Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
it's going peachy.
All right, cool. I don't know if you kind of covered it with what you were talking about before the last caller, but I can't believe they went with Orton as the winner. It's like the most boring thing. It's like the most boring thing ever. Like, there's no way I could care about what anything that Randy Orton's got to do with a title match. And I was actively rooting for Roman Reigns at the end because I wanted some controversy, and they went with vanilla Randy Orton. And I just thought, oh my gosh, this is terrible. But you kind of, I mean, it was, the discussion kind of went, there's, you know, belief that he won't be the guy that you know, ends up being in WrestleMania. I hope that's the case, because I don't want to watch a Randy Orton match anywhere near the main event. So otherwise, I like the card. It was a good card up until the end of the Royal Rumble. But I was laughing at the end of the match. Like, what are you doing with him? He's so awful. He's so boring. I don't know. What do you guys, do you think he's actually going to go and headline one of the title matches at WrestleMania? I can't believe that's going to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt, because that seems to be what everything is pointing to. But I have a hard time. Again, I have a hard time believing that's going to be for the title. And maybe something will happen over the next several weeks to change that. Greg?
Yeah, WWE can really do a lot of different things to move the WrestleMania stip from Orton to someone else. You know, you have to think, okay, in what scenario would Orton put that on the line? The only way, considering what his character is and what he represents right now, the only way I can see Orton not challenging for the title at WrestleMania and not paying off this Rumble win is if he shows his true loyalty to Bray Wyatt by giving that to Wyatt. Giving that opportunity to Bray. And I don't know if the Rumble win is transferable. I don't know if he can do that legally in the WWE universe, but that's really the only way I see him not challenging for a title at WrestleMania, is by giving it to Wyatt. But then you get to the situation where, okay, he's giving that title opportunity to Wyatt. That would mean Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton is not a go for WrestleMania. And that seems to be what they've been building up for the last several months. So, a lot of balls still in the air right now.
I'm not sure about that either, because then you have, Bray Wyatt against whoever the WWE champion is. And, don't think it's going to be Cena, because we've done Cena and Wyatt before at WrestleMania. Jim Valley and I spent weeks doing the Wayback Playback Show covering the 97 Rumble, which was a Rumble where Steve Austin won the Rumble, but did not end up wrestling in the main event of WrestleMania. That ended up going to The Undertaker for reasons that really weren't all that logical. So, I mean, they can do a lot here in the next several weeks.
Yep.
And we'll get our first inkling of it probably on Tuesday.
Yeah, and we're gonna have two more. Pat, you and I are gonna have two more opportunities to really break down possibilities for WrestleMania at the post Elimination Chamber and post Fastlane post show live cast. I think that's what, you know, this is turning into it, and those two are going to turn into not so much a look back at necessarily the quality of the show or the quality of the matches on the show, but how everything that happened affects WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're not at our final destination yet. We'll get there, but let's see. I mean, I'm willing to. I mean, obviously, we're going to have Bo and Shaq, and beyond that, let's see. Seth Rollins and Paul H. But there's still a lot left to be decided. That's what I'm going with. Okay. Any else, Joe?
Yeah, I can hear you. Hey, I just wanted to say, I didn't really hear what you asked me, but I just want to let everyone know, I find much better value out of my $10 a month I spend. Actually, I spend a little less because I get the annual subscription to VIP, Torch VIP. It's way more worth it to me than the WWE Network. So if anyone's on the fence about, $10 a month, one or the other, I recommend going with Torch, because you're going to get your updates on WWE and other promotions. I spend much more time with that than the network. So I want to throw that in there. Go VIP.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Joe. We appreciate it. Okay. Thanks. Joe drops off. That opens up a line for you. 515-605-9345. Greg, were you surprised by the lack of surprises in tonight's Rumble?
A little bit. You know, I think every year we get the expectations so high about who might debut or who might be a surprise entry. You know, coming into to this Rumble, it was Samoa Joe. It was Shinsuke Nakamura, at least until last night. It was Kenny Omega. You know, and we get these grandiose ideas of who could really be a surprise entrant. And then we get Ty Dillinger, okay, at number 10. That's fine. You know, that popped the crowd. It's what they wanted. I had no problem with that. You know, other than that, the surprises were Mark Henry, Kalisto, guys like that. And so I guess I am a little surprised, but I don't have a big problem with it. You know, I think that... Unfortunately, the same people who are complaining about the lack of surprises in the Rumble are the same people who are complaining that, you know, the part-timers came out last, and Goldberg and Lesnar and Undertaker and all that kind of stuff. And, well, you know, the surprises are just one-off, so that's even less of a value, I guess, than Lesnar, Goldberg, and Taker and guys like that. But I guess I should learn to be less surprised by the lack of surprises, if that makes sense.
Yes. Learn to keep the expectations low. One more call before we go to the next break. We have, I think it's Alistair calling in from the UK, VIP member. Hello, Alistair. You're on the live cast. Is this you?
Oh, yeah. Morning.
Good morning.
Evening, as it is over there. Morning. Yes. A couple of things, really. Well, firstly, thanks for the VIP services. The torch is fantastic. First point, Cena tonight, I think finally Super Cena has hopefully been laid to rest. That was a cracking match, and I just can't say anything. You know, I never thought I'd be somebody who'd say, John Cena, what a guy, but tonight was just really, really good for him. Really good for AJ. Match of the night, no question. Second thing, unfortunately, spoiled most of what had come before, which was Roman at 30. I think everybody in the arena and everybody watching at home had done the math and said, okay, we've got Goldberg, we've got Undertaker, we've got Lesnar, we've got... And counting him down. It's going to be somebody. And... It took the air out of the building. I'd been on the edge of my seat until that point. It took me off the edge of my seat. Everybody on the building, everybody at home just went straight from, this is amazing, what's going to happen, to, oh, please no.
Yeah.
And then relief. It wasn't joy. I mean, I mildly popped for Randy winning, but that was just relief. Mm-hmm. But a great show overall until number 30 in the Rumble, which just how the yeah. Anyway, that's all I've got to say, really.
Okay, that's fine, Alistair. Let me go to you with this, Greg. Reigns eliminating Undertaker and eliminating him from behind, basically, that agitated a lot of fans. Are we going to hit WrestleMania and get Undertaker versus Roman Reigns?
Well, first of all, I want to agree with Alistair that Cena Styles was a cracking match. I love that.
Yes.
I love that. I need to use that more often. But, you know, Reigns and Taker, WrestleMania, that'll be an interesting direction, because going in, you're going to have to anticipate Taker as the babyface. So what do they do with Reigns? And the announcers, as you know, they sort of touched on Roman's demeanor when he got into the Rumble match and saying, you know, this is different. That attack earlier tonight and whatever really by Strowman really did something to him, really seemed to change him. I'm not suggesting they're going to turn Roman Reigns full-fledged heel, but it seemed like the announcers were being produced to hint that this was a different Roman Reigns, and getting rid of the Undertaker and Taker stare down of Reigns would seem to indicate that there's something down the line for those two as well. And WrestleMania, yeah, I know there's a backlash against Reigns, but to me, Reigns-Taker does kind of feel like a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, it does, and they can do, I guess they can do Undertaker and Goldberg and Reigns and Strowman before WrestleMania. They have Fastlane, and they have weeks to set that up. And it's in March. They'll want to get numbers for the network up in March, and Undertaker versus Goldberg might be a hook to do that. But it means,
and
you know,
I believe Goldberg is being advertised as wrestling on Fastlane, so he would need
there. You go. There you go. Okay, Alistair, thank you very much for staying up and checking in with us. We hope you enjoyed the show.
It was really good.
Okay. Alistair drops off. We have to go to a break. When we come back on the side of this, we have more VIP calls, a lot of people on hold. We are going to try to get to as many of you as we can before we go off the air. This is the PW Torch Livecast. Stay tuned.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch Livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
Also, when you're shopping on Amazon, feel free to use us, pwtorch.com/Amazon. The referral, everything will cost the same on Amazon. The referral will net us some coins, enable us to fill up the petty cash drawer, pwtorch.com/Amazon. Now, speaking of breaking news, Greg, we have breaking news. Wade Keller will be on the Steve Austin Show this Tuesday, going over the Royal Rumble with him. Feel free to check that out. That is absolutely free. And, of course, the interview Wade Keller did with Steve Austin, first part of it, it was on Thursday's livecast. The first part of it is available free for everyone on pwtorchlivecast.com. The second part of it, you have to be a subscriber, but be sure to check that out. Okay, let's continue. I do want to take some of the. I do want to get to a couple of the emails before we go on into our next caller. Let's see. Okay, this is. One writer says I'm tired. Yeah. Okay, one guy complaining about the ads. Well, that's fair. Wayne from Toronto. The cruiserweight match was really good, yet the crowd was dead, and I swore I heard a small boring chant. What do you think it's going to take for this division to catch on, Greg?
I think what hurt it was the slow pace at the beginning, and the placement on the card I know didn't help because it sort of was the buffer match between two of the big matches on the show, and that's usually the bring down match. You bring the fans down for that one, but it seems more often than not that the cruiserweight style is being neutered a little bit and that these guys are being asked to wrestle a style that just doesn't interest the crowd. You know, a lot of rest holds, even more than we saw in any of the other matches on the show, which is, to me, ridiculous, especially when you need these guys to use their athleticism to get the fans behind them, since you're really trying to break in an entire division, and the crowd is going to be skeptical at first. You need to get something to hook them, and WWE is not allowing these wrestlers to hook them with the in-ring work.
Okay, we have another VIP caller to take. It is Tim from Philadelphia. Tim, you are on the live cast with me and Greg. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going well.
Yeah, I'm on my way home from the show right now. And, yeah, I can't help but feel the same disappointment that pretty much everybody in that arena, as well as everyone watching, when number 30 came out. It wasn't Joe. It wasn't Balor. It wasn't Nakamura. But for the third year in a row, we had Roman Reigns there in the final two. And I'm a little bit afraid, knowing that the Philly's getting the Rumble next year, that Vince McMahon, out of spite, is going to give us Roman Reigns in the final two, 5 years in a row.
Oh, you're going to get lots of Roman Reigns. I can almost guarantee that one. I wasn't as surprised, Greg. If you read my preview, I thought that Kane would be number 30 and they would do something with Kane and The Undertaker. And I'm stunned that Kane is still alive and breathing and, as far as I know, not injured and wasn't in the Rumble this year.
Yeah, this was the first year that
the record, right,
Kane wasn't in
for
it.
Consecutive Rumbles. And, I, you know, Kane at this point has far outlived his usefulness as an in-ring wrestler, but I did feel kind of sad. It just didn't feel like the Rumble was complete without Kane coming in and throwing at least a couple guys out.
Well, they needed to keep the room for, yeah, they needed the room for James Ellsworth. So,
of course, got to have some comedy in the Rumble.
That's what the Rumble's about, is comedy. Okay. Yeah, I was, you know, I'm surprised, but how do you feel about the idea of Undertaker versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, Tim?
I can be okay with it if what they tease tonight leads to an inevitable Roman Reigns heel turn, because they have to know without a shadow of a doubt, if they put Roman Reigns against Undertaker at WrestleMania, it is 1,000% a guarantee that everybody in that arena is going to be booing the living daylights out of Roman Reigns. So if they're just looking for the perfect opportunity to pull the trigger on a Roman Reigns heel turn, it's perfect. I'm okay for it. But it also sets up what's possibly going to be another underwhelming WrestleMania card, because, I mean, looking off the outcome of tonight, we're going to have AJ Styles against Shane McMahon. Really?
I've heard that rumor. I hope not. My hope is that Finn Balor is ready to go by then, and even though they're not on the same brand, I see no problem with doing AJ Styles and Finn Balor.
That's
my hope.
Save the card, but yeah, I'm fearful of AJ against Shane, and I'm actually, for the first time in a couple of years, glad I didn't get a ticket to WrestleMania this year, because if I have to pay for that.
I mean, there's going to be other shows in Orlando that weekend, but yeah, I don't know about that. Greg, the door is still open for Samoa Joe and Cena, because, you know, last year they didn't even start setting up Undertaker and Shane McMahon until February.
Yeah, and to be honest, the Rumble would have been, I think, a good place to introduce Samoa Joe. There's always the thought that if you introduce a character like Samoa Joe, who you want to thrust into the main event scene, that he's got to win the Royal Rumble. So if you weren't going to have him win, and if you were married to the idea of Randy Orton winning, I can understand keeping Joe off the Royal Rumble, not putting him in there, having him get lost in the shuffle of Brock Lesnar and Goldberg and Braun Strowman and all these guys that you want to push and you want to have fans coming out of the Rumble focusing on. And then you've got maybe Samoa Joe, who maybe third in line of you know, fans remembering it coming out of that, or WWE prioritizing that. So, you know, you could do something at Elimination Chamber with him. You could do something on a live SmackDown with him. So I wouldn't completely shut the door, Pat, as you said, on Joe coming out and doing something with someone at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I don't think there's really anything left for him to do in NXT. So, I think that's an obvious match. But you know, WWE, they can surprise us. Anything else?
For better
Tim?
Or worse?
No. Last thing I got is just with Joe possibly being called up for Mania. My only hope is that for the post Mania call up, I mean, it has to be Nakamura. There's no way around that. He has to be on the card for SummerSlam.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, I'm expecting Nakamura by then. I think after WrestleMania is probably a good time. I think whoever the next big acquisition is for NXT, he's going to face Nakamura in Orlando that weekend. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's Chris Hero or Cassius Ohno or whatever you call him, because we didn't see him tonight. And I was kind of expecting
him. When he comes up, do you see him going to either Raw or SmackDown?
That's a great question. I think they'd have more fun with him on SmackDown. I'd like to see him on SmackDown.
Yeah, SmackDown needs him more as a top babyface than Raw does. So I think SmackDown makes sense. Now, I mean, the question is, where does Samoa Joe go? Do you put Joe and Nakamura both on SmackDown? If Joe is up before Nakamura, they may want to keep those guys separated by brands, but who knows?
Yeah, that's true. Let's see.
Talent-wise, he would work better on SmackDown, but you got to give it to him. He would look great with that Universal title around his waist, red on red.
That's very true. By the way, Tim, you should know that Jim Morrison's liver on Twitter has given a thumbs up to your call. He just wanted to let you know that.
Awesome.
Yes.
Thank you, Jim Morrison's liver.
Okay. Glad we got that out of the way. All right. Thank you, Tim. We'll hopefully hear from you in 2 weeks.
You definitely count on that.
Okay. 515-605-9345. We're just going to take calls straight through until we end the show. I'm Pat McNeil. He's Greg Parks. We are handling the WWE Royal Rumble post-game show. Let's take another email here. This is from Miguel. Miguel from London. Orton was a safe choice to win the Rumble for sure. As a fan, I'm just happy Vince didn't make the mistake of his bromance with Roman Reigns affecting the Rumble result. At this point, I am thinking Cena loses the title at Elimination Chamber and faces The Undertaker at Mania. I mean, that's a possibility. I think they're going with Undertaker and Reigns. I am surprised, though. I would have expected Cena and Undertaker this year. Greg?
You know, that's one of the matches that I'd bang the table for in creative. I think that your time is running out, not only now for Taker, but for John Cena to do that match. Cena will be around in some capacity probably till the end of time. He's virtually indestructible at this point. But, you know, for it to mean as much as it could, I think you've got to do it. And I've been arguing for the past 3 to 5 years that Cena Taker needs to take place at WrestleMania. Now that the streak is gone, I think it's less important to do that because at one point Cena was one of the few guys who fans would buy as having a realistic chance to break the streak. With the streak gone now, I guess it's not as imperative to do that match. But it's curious to me that they haven't done that. You know, they've done Taker Lesnar, they've done Taker Shane McMahon. Yet for whatever reason, Taker Cena has not been in the cards, and that's kind of curious to me almost at this point.
Okay, let's see. I don't see any more VIP callers on the line, even though there's supposed to be one. All right, we'll go to the next in line. It is Jordan from New Rochelle. Jordan, you're on the live cast with me and Greg. Hello.
Hey, what's up? I thought this was a great Rumble, but I guess you could say for surprises, it wasn't really that surprising. I know I was really booing the crap out of Reigns when he came out because I was like, are you really going to have him win again? And the only thing that really mattered for me in this Rumble was, like I called it, Ty Dillinger coming out at number 10. And I don't remember how he got out. I think Strowman eliminated him. But do you think he can finally get caught up in? I know he lost to Eric Young, but do you think this is his call up to the main roster?
I think that's a good idea. I mean, I don't think they have much more that they can do with him necessarily on NXT, but and he's definitely deserves a shot. But it's going to take something for him to break out past the undercard on either Raw or SmackDown. Greg.
I think it should be his call-up, this Rumble appearance, and he did well enough, lasted long enough to where he can use that to propel him onto something bigger, either on SmackDown or Raw. The gimmick is not one that's going to shoot him to the top. I think we talked about this last night on the NXT San Antonio TakeOver Roundtable with Justin James, Pat, that, mm-hmm. You know, Dillinger with that gimmick is a lower card guy on the main roster, but there's always a need for those guys. There's nothing to be ashamed of to be a longtime opening match guy in WWE. But I just think the expectations of people who are really behind the gimmick need to be tempered a little bit. This is not a guy who's going to start challenging for the Universal title or the WWE title on SmackDown. You know, this is a guy who, you know, is probably going to be in Apollo Crews territory. And again, there's always a place for those guys.
Yeah, let's see. I was looking up. Dillinger weighs too much to be in the cruiserweight division. So, well, that's good for him, actually.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
I don't think he's ready for that. I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do with Dillinger. I think maybe he's in a holding pattern until somebody gets injured, and then there's a spot opening up for him. But he's at the point where, you know, it took forever for him to break out on NXT, but he's at the point where there's just not a whole lot left for him to do.
Yeah. And the loss to Eric Young really cemented
yeah.
that.
Well, Eric Young obviously is a Eric Young and Sanity is a higher priority for them right now. They want Sanity to be, I guess, the next to be the Wyatt family of Raw when they get called up. Is there anything else, Jordan?
Oh yeah, I wanted to make one more comment. What I haven't heard that I really want to see is how about Cena drops it at Elimination Chamber to Styles, and then we have Orton versus AJ Styles. That's a dream match right there. And I think the Rumble is supposed to answer questions. I think we got a lot more questions that we have unanswered, like what's going on with Brock and Goldberg, like you said, Roman Reigns and Undertaker. I think we have a lot to be developed in the case of just matches. And that's all I got for you guys tonight.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jordan. I want to go through some of the chat room conversation. R.R. Pounder, was the Jack Gallagher floating off the top rope with the umbrella towards Braun Strowman the stupidest thing ever tried at the Royal Rumble? I'm going to go with no, Greg. I think the stupidest thing ever tried at the Royal Rumble was Giant Gonzalez.
Fair enough. But yes, this would be up there.
Yeah, will the crowd start chanting Mary Poppins at Jack Gallagher from now on? I don't think it's on 205 Live. I don't think anybody cares what they chant at Jack Gallagher. So let's see. Yeah. All right. Let's go back to the phones. We're going to go to 478 area code. I think this is Darrell from Georgia. Darrell, welcome to the livecast.
How you doing, Pat? How you doing, Greg? How y'all doing tonight?
We're doing great. Well.
Okay. I think the single matches before the Rumble really had the crowd heated, and that was kind of, to me, the best part of the Rumble. The Rumble match itself was kind of bland and kind of predictable on who you had coming out, in some of the certain spots. But my question for you guys, I know y'all were talking about Bray versus Randy maybe at Mania. Where would y'all think that match would end up? I'm thinking that in the middle of the card type of match, not a co-main event type of match, or maybe even the first match on the card. That'll be one question.
I don't think the WWE title match would ever be the opener. And I was upset when they did Sheamus and Daniel Bryan, which should have been which was for the number two belt at the time, as the opening match on Mania that one year. So I don't want to see that. But I think it's right there in the middle of the card, about where Seth Rollins and Randy Orton was a few years ago. Greg?
Yeah, I don't think it would main event. You've got Goldberg, Lesnar. You've got, theoretically, Undertaker, Reigns. You've got whatever Cena's doing. You've got the Universal title. I think they all take a higher billing than Cena versus than Wyatt versus Orton. And, you know, they could surprise us. They could tell a story and really build that match up over the next few months to really put it in the same conversation as those matches. But as it stands right now, it does seem like a mid-show match.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, my next two questions will maybe try to fix up that a little bit. Now, in the Elimination Chamber, we already have, just off of what they said, probably five of the spots in the Elimination Chamber filled up, with Shane already given Dean, Corbin, and Miz a spot in the Elimination Chamber. So, again, not another Intercontinental title match. Then you got Cena and maybe AJ.
Okay.
So you got one more slot left open. Maybe you get Samoa Joe debuting on SmackDown, getting that, and maybe helping to have John Cena with a quick turnaround lose to AJ Styles because of a Samoa Joe. Get Joe versus Cena at Mania with AJ versus a new back to babyface Randy Orton, who has a match with Bray Wyatt at Elimination Chamber. Since they're speeding the breakup of the Wyatt family so fast, might as well go ahead and break it up at the Elimination Chamber. What do you guys think about that? Those two things.
Well, I think that's where they're gonna, whatever they're gonna do it, whatever they're going to do with the Wyatt family, that's the pay per view, that's the SmackDown pay per view. Yeah, that's gonna be when they do it. Let's see, Greg.
Yeah, the chamber match. There's only a finite number of spots, and certainly a finite number of top guys on the SmackDown brand who you could conceivably see in that match. Baron Corbin made a big statement tonight by throwing out, I believe it was Braun Strowman he threw out. So that was one of the more interesting developments that I think by the end of the match sort of was lost in the shuffle, and he could see his star really begin to rise too heading into WrestleMania and maybe have a good performance at the Chamber match to help build that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and we're talking about all these matches that we're setting up for Mania. There's going to be an Andre the Giant Battle Royal. You know, somebody's got to be in that, and somebody's got to win that. I think if Strowman and Corbin are in that, you definitely could have some fireworks.
Yeah, it's funny how the Rumble changes things, because there were people saying, man, Strowman is, you know, Wade Keller was one of them who said that Taker and Strowman were his top picks to win the Rumble, and that would have pegged Strowman for a major title match at WrestleMania, and now here we are after the event talking about Strowman possibly being in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which is, you know, the Battle Royal's nice, but it's a pretty big step down from a title match.
Well, but he gets a big match with Roman Reigns probably at Fastlane, so, you know. Mm-hmm. It's tough to – you can't make everybody happy.
No, that's for sure. WWE learns that every time they try to put Roman Reigns over.
That's true. All right, anything else,
Darrell? I got Corbin in maybe a match between Dean Ambrose for the IC title match, and so this year doesn't get the ladder match treatment instead of him being in the Rumble, the little Andre the Giant match, and the Cruiserweights might get a ladder match maybe or something like that. But that's why I have Corbin, and they start that at Elimination Chamber.
Okay, well, that's a possibility. It's probably better than one of those Cruiserweight gauntlets that they did some years back. I'm glad that Swan and Neville got as much time as they did, but I'm not encouraged by the treatment of the Cruiserweights so far.
Yeah.
Okay, Greg, anything
well,
on the Cruiserweights?
Guys.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, thank you, Darrell. It's good talking to you. Greg, what do you think about the what do you think about the Cruiserweights direction?
Well, like I said before, I don't think WWE is doing them any favors by how they're laying out the matches, by how they're placing the matches on the card. I just don't think that style where you do a slow build throughout the first half of the match and do chin locks and rest holds is what fans want out of the Cruiserweight division. They want athleticism. They want something to set it apart from the rest of the matches on the card. And realistically, the Cruiserweight match we saw tonight was probably one of the slower paced and until the very end. Matches on the card, which is just bizarre when they're already kind of in a hold because WWE historically has not booked guys that look like that, that the smaller side, the lighter side, they've not booked those guys well in the past. So they really needed to build that division from the ground up and do it well for the fan base to take it seriously. And they haven't really done everything that they've needed to do yet for it.
No, that definitely hasn't happened. I mean, if you saw any of Dragon Gate USA and saw Rich Swann and Neville in there, you know what they're capable of. All right. We're going to go to, we got a VIP caller on hold. It is Kareem from New Jersey, 201 area code. Kareem, you're on the live cast with me and Greg. Hello.
Hey guys, I just have to say this real quick. I think the WWE really just says we're just going to take all of these events and give a big FU to the fans any chance they get, because there's no way out of all the people you could have picked to be 30 that they give us Roman Reigns in that 30 spot. The craziness about it is we saw someone with Joe at the NXT last night. He didn't wrestle. He was there for the weekend. They said the whole card for NXT was ready to go for this weekend. But instead, you give us Jack Gallagher to give us a crazy, stupid umbrella skit. And I get why they put Dillinger at 10. That was talked about forever. So I totally get why they put Dillinger at 10. But to put Reigns in that 30 spot after you look to be setting something up between Reigns and Strowman because Strowman cost him the title, but then you put him in that 30 spot, and now it looks like he's going to be fighting the Undertaker. Kind of doesn't make sense how they built the night. The second thing, I don't want to keep you guys too long, but the second thing is I heard people talking about the cruiserweights. Well, how do WWE expect the cruiserweights to get over when I've been to live shows and they go through all of those motions of changing the ropes and changing the colors and going through all of that? People get up and leave. They go to the bathroom. They go to get drinks. They go to eat. So how does WWE expect people to care about something that they go through all that trouble to make look different when you can just incorporate it in your show as another match if it's going to be on Raw? If you want to do the ropes and everything for 205 Live, fine. But when you're going to put it on a pay-per-view or you're going to put it on Raw, it doesn't make sense to do the change and have people tune out during that change, because you can't expect fans to want to sit through all of that, all those motions.
Yeah, I'll do you one better. I saw 205 Live this week, and they were recapping, you know, the storyline that happened on Raw. But instead of showing the Raw logo, they had a special purple logo that said Raw Cruiserweights on it. Just so you didn't think this was actually taking what happened there was actually part of Raw, even though it was taking place during Raw. That's got to stop. I mean, it's just a waste of time changing out the ropes for one thing.
Yeah, you know, I get WWE wanting to set the cruiserweights apart. I get wanting to make it special, and I think by doing that, it does create almost a barrier between the cruiserweights and the rest of the roster, which you can, you know, probably when you hear that, you immediately think, well, that's stupid and that's wrong. But I think it would make it harder then for WWE to say, oh man, we got to put Strowman over real huge this time. Let's take two of the cruiserweights and use them. You know, if you're constantly associating the purple, and if you're talking about the cruiserweights in a certain sense, I think it's harder then to make them throw them out there to have them do a job in a non-cruiserweight match. So from that point of view, as long as it stops that from happening, and we're surprised it hasn't happened much yet, I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. No, guys, definitely. And I guess the last thing I had was I'm okay with Orton winning the Rumble as long as we do not get a Orton-Cena match at WrestleMania. If that's a Orton-Bray match, I'm cool with it. And if we get a Cena, say, somehow at the Elimination Chamber, they set up something with Cena and Samoa Joe, which is something that I think is possible. I think that could work too, but please, just, they cannot give us another Orton-Cena match at WrestleMania. That would be another WWE saying F you to the fans. And I just think they know the loyal fans that pay their money will continue to pay. I think they're just banking on the fans are going to continue to pay. And I'm sitting here with my kids, and my kids are into the Cenas and things like that. But at some point, people are going to be like, you know what? You're going to be who you are, and we just can't watch this anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's true. But they like you said, they're going to put out shows like the Cruiserweight Classic, like the UK tournament, which are going to make people go, you know, here, take my money. And NXT is still going to be, I'm guessing, devoted to, you know, it's still going to be the wrestling show. And I mean, but they want it so that, you know, they want it so that the only way you can get that type of programming is to get the network.
And that's, you know, that's what WWE is doing right now. They're saying, you know, maybe our main roster product isn't for everyone. Maybe you don't like Roman Reigns. And in another era, you may have just turned the channel and said, I'm giving up watching WWE. But we give you enough on the network, like you said, Pat, the NXT shows, the library of past pay-per-views from WWE, WCW, ECW. They give you the Cruiserweight Classic kind of stuff to where, okay, you know, I don't like Roman Reigns being number 30, and I don't like the idea of John Cena versus Randy Orton at WrestleMania, so maybe I won't watch that show, but I'll still keep my network subscription so I can watch this, this, and this. And they're probably fine with that.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they are. They don't care why you're spending the money. And in a lot of cases, it seems like they don't even care if you're spending money. I mean, they just want the network. They just want the subscriber number boosted.
Yeah, no, definitely, guys. But that's all I have, man. You guys can go to take other calls. I appreciate you hearing fans out tonight, because a lot of fans feel like it was a great show up until
up until a point.
That,
yeah.
Yep.
I got you. All right, Kareem, hang in there. Let's see, I want to go through an email that we got from Tim from Erie, Pennsylvania, VIP member. He says, overall, B-plus for the show. Cena and Styles match of the night. Love the heel work from Neville. Rumble was average. Thought we'd see Braun, Taker, Goldberg, and Lesnar all in the ring at once. Finally, is Roman Reigns heel now or just the angriest babyface in the history of the company? Best part of the Rumble over at 10:45 Eastern. Love the show. Thanks. All right, Tim. Yeah, that probably is the best part of the Rumble. They couldn't go late tonight.
Yeah, that was certainly a good part. You know, he brings up an interesting point though. We kind of touched on it a little earlier as Roman Reigns is the heel. You know, there was some suggestion by a lot of people on Twitter during the AJ Styles John Cena match that people assumed that, oh my gosh, John Cena is wrestling heelish. Look at his expression on his face. He's a heel. And everybody had this, I don't know where it came from, this belief that Cena was turning heel during this match. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm seeing a babyface who's focused and who wants to take out AJ Styles for all the things that Styles has said about him. And then, you know, the match ends and John Cena goes over with his title to the Make-A-Wish kid, gives it to him. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's some heel John Cena right there. And I don't know if we're trying to read that into Roman Reigns, too, based on his reaction in the Rumble. But again, you know, if Reigns Taker is the direction for WrestleMania, even WWE, who apparently still thinks that Roman Reigns at number 30 is going to be a pleasant surprise to the fans, they have to be under the belief that Undertaker is going to be cheered at WrestleMania. Maybe they don't care. Maybe they'll see it as babyface Reigns versus babyface Taker. I don't know. But this is certainly going to be interesting booking if they do go Reigns-Taker at WrestleMania, just to see how heelish Reigns comes off.
Yeah, that's going to be something. I don't think Roman Reigns wrestled heel tonight. I just think people don't like him. Let's go back to the phones. We have a VIP on hold. It is JR from Poughkeepsie. JR, welcome to the live cast. Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good.
So a couple of quick notes on the just really my opinions. I want to kind of get your guys' thought, obviously, as well on the Rumble tonight. Before I do that, I just wanted to touch on what you guys were just talking about as far as Reigns or Cena coming across heelish tonight. For me, I can completely understand what people were saying if there was this underlying thought that Cena was turning heel. Number one, his promos leading up to this AJ Cena match have completely, again, they did have a heelish tint to them. I don't know if, you know, especially that last promo before the Royal Rumble tonight, he definitely had a heelish tint to him. And as far as the match goes and his expressions during the match, it did, to me, came across a little heelish as well. Obviously, with the Make-A-Wish situation that happened after the match, that's not where they're going. I see that much more than I see Reigns heel. Reigns really didn't do anything heel tonight. As a matter of fact, he got screwed out of the championship. He got screwed out of the title in his championship match, and then he just eliminated Undertaker. Sure, it was from behind, but it was fair and square. So I really honestly didn't see anything heelish about Reigns tonight, but I was surprised because I thought they were going in a more heelish direction with Cena.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing that. I mean, the eliminating Taker from behind, it's going to be seen as heelish, and that's unavoidable. I think that they could do better with Reigns as a heel, but that doesn't seem to be where they're going.
You know, the lead up to Cena versus Styles, Wade Keller and I talked about. Well, you know, the lead up to the match that Wade Keller and I talked about on SmackDown this past week on the post SmackDown livecast, you know, a lot of people were calling in and taking issue with Cena's promo on Styles, saying, whoa, that was really harsh. And there were people who thought he came off heelish. But, you know, he was responding to things that AJ had said. And they've both been going back and forth pretty hard on each other. So I think it was a little rough what he gave Styles. But, you know, Styles gave it to him first as well. You know, they were trading barbs equally sharp on the mic over the past several weeks. So did Cena's promo sting a little more than maybe his usual promos do? Yeah, probably. But I didn't even read those promos as heelish to me.
Yeah, no, I just thought, again, listening to him, you know, really in the two or three promos he cut against AJ, it almost seemed like he was diving into the Doctor of Thugonomics toolbox, without the rhymes, of course, as far as his inflection and some of the things he was saying. But I didn't want to kind of get lost in the weeds there. I just wanted to, a couple of things before I leave you guys. As far as the Rumble itself goes, I went into this thinking it's going to be pretty hard to make this a ho-hum or lackluster Rumble. I mean, again, if you look at the names that were in the Rumble, it was a pretty star-studded Rumble, as they have said leading up to this event. I mean, if you want to call this the most star-studded Rumble in history, that may or may not be true. You can make the argument for 92, 2002, 2007. But as far as making that claim, it's not an outrageous claim. However, what they did, and as far as how they laid it out, to me was a big surprise, because if you look at what happened throughout this Rumble, a lot of times in the past, what WWE does is they spread out the star power, and they kind of give you stars throughout the Rumble to kind of keep your attention and to keep it interesting. But the problem this year is that a lot of the stars, at least in my opinion, are older. So a lot of the stars weren't going to be able to last in the match as long as they had in, let's say, some other years. So you had to have a lot of the star power come out later, because they just weren't going to be able to, they just didn't have the stamina. So that's why you had the late draws of Taker, Goldberg, you had the late draws of Lesnar, and even Reigns, who had wrestled earlier in the night. So what that led to is the first half of the match, really the first, I'd say, two-thirds of the match, were filled with guys who you knew had no shot at winning the Rumble. And really, if you listen to the crowd, especially it struck me when Cesaro came out, and Cesaro was doing he was going crazy with the Cesaro swing on everybody. The crowd was almost like a library. The crowd was dead. And I think it's because, again, they were kind of lulled, almost bored, for really the first two-thirds of that Rumble. And it surprised me, with this many stars in there, that it was spread out like it was, or I guess wasn't spread out like it otherwise probably should have been. Because, again, that first, even Braun Strowman. Now, Braun Strowman, I was saying to the people I was watching the Rumble with, I was saying that this is perfect. This is vintage WWE. Strowman's going to come out. They're going to give him the spot that they give, you know, the Diesel spot in 94, the Austin spot in 97, and everybody knows the spot where he's going to come out. He's going to eliminate everybody. He's going to be alone in the ring. That's going to carry this Rumble for a while. I was surprised that they just had him eliminated pretty unceremoniously early on. And to me, and I want to get your opinion, but to me that really took the crowd out of it and really, again, made for a kind of a slog and boring Royal Rumble match, which really surprised me.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, because I think I think they would have been better served to let Strowman come in later and eliminate more people before getting him thrown out. Greg?
Yeah, I was surprised Strowman was eliminated as early as he was too. And I think ideally with the Lesnars, the Goldbergs, and the Takers, I think ideally you do spread them out throughout the Rumble and have one, you know, in the single digits, one in the teens, one in the 20s. But the problem was their stories were all intertwined here. You had to have Goldberg and Lesnar in the ring at the same time because you wanted to do the Goldberg spear of Lesnar and the toss of him and continue that story. You wanted to have Goldberg and Taker in the ring at the same time because Taker eliminated Goldberg, rather, and they appear to be setting something up for that. So you basically had to have all three in the ring at the same time, and none of them have the stamina to, say, start at number 9 and end at number 21 when one of these guys comes out. So to tell the story WWE wanted to tell in this Rumble, you really did have all three of those guys bunched in at the same time. So, yeah, it was unfortunate that it worked out that way, but I can see why WWE booked it the way they did.
Yeah, I just wanted to, and I appreciate your thoughts. I'll let you guys go. But to me, and that's exactly kind of my point as far as who the, you know, who made up the star power this year. You know, a lot of older wrestlers as far as the stamina was obviously an issue. But, again, I think you could have had Strowman in there longer to make it a little more interesting. As far as Orton winning, too, just to leave you guys with this, the Orton Bray storyline to me makes no sense. And again, they were telling a story. It looked like they were going one direction where Orton was infiltrating the Wyatt family. He was eventually going to turn on them. And they seem to have lost their way because now Orton has won the Rumble. Luke Harper apparently is out of the Wyatt family. I don't know what happened with that. Apparently he's out. And now you have a situation where Bray Wyatt is, I mean, Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton aren't on bad terms. Orton won seemingly in full babyface mode, but yet he's still aligned with Bray. And for what? Is he still kind of having this covert operation where he's going to turn on Bray? Because now at this point, what would be the point of that? It doesn't make a lot of sense. So I'm not really sure where they're going as far as that storyline goes. It seems like it's gotten very convoluted. And it just seems like nobody wants to see Orton at this point in his career in the main event at WrestleMania. So I just thought it was a really curious decision, especially when he had a ready-made WrestleMania match and just with Bray Wyatt, no title necessary. So it was just curious booking, in my opinion, to have Orton win this. And it just brought down the WrestleMania card because he has to now be in one of the two championship matches.
Yeah. I don't see it. Maybe they'll come up with a way to surprise us, but I'm not seeing Orton and Bray Wyatt breaking out of the mid card this year. All right, thanks, JR. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
515-605-9345. Greg, if we want to get everybody who's on hold in, we got to start. We got to start mowing through calls here. Let's go here with Jay from Tampa. Jay, you're on the live cast. Hello.
Hey, guys. I think Vince is trying to get a little too happy. I know he said last year that he made chicken salad out of chicken crap, and it's going to be interesting this time around with Randy Orton winning. I had an idea that he could potentially, because they had a good storyline going into it with the Wyatt family, but it's kind of sad that we've been talking for a little over an hour. We haven't even really talked anything about the Universal Champion retaining.
Kevin Owens.
He doesn't have anybody going for him. My only assumption is that Kevin Owens has that opening for Finn Balor, since we know, you know, got an idea where everybody else is going. I was wondering about the women's match. Was it just me, or did you guys notice that it seemed like they never did really let Mickie James touch Nikki Bella? You think they may work up a storyline between those two heading into WrestleMania? And see if they mix something up with that.
I think that they did what they wanted to do with that match, and they wanted to leave Becky Lynch and Mickey James open ended. I see that feud going through WrestleMania. I don't see them starting anything with Nikki and Mickey just yet. Greg.
Yeah, it looks like it's Nikki and Natalya, Naomi and Alexa Bliss, and Mickie James and Becky Lynch. I don't know if all three of those go to and through WrestleMania, but those are the ones that are on the front burners right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got to agree with that. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. Yep. Is there anything else, Jake? Because we gotta get through some of these.
I was just going to say real quick about the AJ Styles. I guess they just couldn't let them cross paths. I'm sure hopefully AJ took some pictures in the back with Anderson and Gallows, as that was their about 40 minutes of all of them having titles in WWE simultaneously before AJ went on and lost his. But I'm just proud to see Anderson and Gallows win. It didn't seem like anything too big, but I'm kind of curious to see what they do from here. Your guys have
okay. All right, thanks. We appreciate it. Okay, that's next up. Let's go to who do we got here? Adrian from Aurora, you're on the live cast. Hello.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Going well.
I'm gonna get to it real quick here. Three things overall. The show was 7.5 for me. I took a half star off because the feed on my Xbox One continued to go out throughout most of this pay-per-view, which was quite annoying.
Yeah.
Number two, I agree with Wade. There needs to be some rules enforced. Jericho was out for quite a bit and didn't come back in until almost the end of the match. And then you had Ellsworth waiting for about 2.5 minutes before he got eventually thrown out very horribly by Braun. And third, I saw a lot of laying down and people crawling to each other and calling stuff out. Don't they discuss this stuff beforehand? And that's pretty much all I got for overall. I thought it was a good show, though.
Thank you, Adrian. Yeah, if they discuss stuff beforehand, Greg, it would ruin the spontaneity of what they're doing in there.
Of course. I did think this match in particular, that's one of the things, small things that bothered me about this Rumble match was too many times there was just a lot of laying around while two guys went at it in the middle of the ring. And yeah, I get that they want you to focus on one thing, but usually the Rumble matches have other things going off on the side and guys trying to eliminate each other at least. This year was a lot of laying around the ring.
Yeah, grab a corner or something, you know, grab a corner, try to push each other out. I mean, yeah, just you know, just make it look a little better than that. All right, Boris from Chicago. We're low on time, Boris. Hello.
Yes.
What can we do for you? Yes, I know.
I was just thinking how with the AJ match, I guess with the buzz from the six-star, the 5 to 6-star match that Kenny Omega and them had, I guess they had to just go ahead and just, you know, do this, do their John Cena match and call it a 5-star. I was noticing that was on Twitter that they was calling that a 5-6-star match, and I really disagreed.
I thought it was very good. If somebody told you it was a 4-star match, would you be okay with that?
I wouldn't give it no stars. I'm just waiting on John Cena and Roman Reigns to disappear. Yeah, because if anything, all this is really constructed somehow to try to get these guys over, no matter what. And if it fails, the Rumble, I knew this dude was going to be in a somehow shape, and they put him in 30. You know what I'm saying? So now the whole thing is, you know, remember with Daniel Bryan, how they set up Fastlane, and he was, you know, to get him, everything structured to me to get him to WrestleMania. So whatever is in the Elimination Chamber, Fastlane, this is how they're going to continue to try to push this guy. You know, because Ty Dillinger is more over to him, and everybody just doubts that. I'd rather somebody else get that chance that Roman Reigns is getting, just to see how far they can go. Because I even just liked a little bit the dude did, the Ty Dillinger guy, and I've never watched a match with him, but just hearing the buzz about him is better than seeing this guy on the screen. You know what I'm saying? Getting booed out the building, everybody tired of seeing the same old moves he's doing. You know, it's just redundant at this point. That's
okay. All right, Boris. Thank you. Okay, Greg. Did you know that they were doing these matches to try and get John Cena and Roman Reigns over?
Hard to believe. I don't know if they're ever going to get that Cena kid over. It's going to take a lot of work.
Yeah. Maybe they can get him over. I don't know. Sometime in the future. Okay. Mystery person 832 area code. You're on the live cast with Pat and Greg. Hello. 832 area code. 832. I hear something, and going once. Bueller. All right. Well, we might get back to you. Jason from Australia. Go. You're on the live cast.
Yeah. Thanks, Pat and Greg. All right. I realize you're running out of time, so I'll get right into it. Look.
Thanks.
I'm a bit different. I thought the best match on the card was Charlotte and Bayley. Because I like the fact that Charlotte won with her finisher in convincing fashion on the apron. It looked like a brutal spot, and it led to a pin. And now she continues on, and Bayley's got that quest that she has to continue on with. I like that. I thought the Cruiserweight match, despite the indifference of the crowd, which I believe is totally WWE's fault, I thought it was a really good showcase for Rich Swann. I know nothing about Rich Swann before he came to WWE, but I thought it was a good showcase for him, and Neville got the win. So I thought both guys got put over. I'm sorry, I might be in the minority here and I'll get shut down by everyone else. I didn't like the two title matches because, as weird as it sounds, I find it hard to suspend my disbelief when these guys continue to get hit with big moves and they continue to kick out. I'm not one of these people who think a match is five stars because there's 48 near falls. I just don't believe in that. That's why I prefer the Charlotte Bayley match over AJ and Cena. It just got ridiculous for me. And, you know, Roman Reigns surviving a stunner, getting frog splashed through the table. Even Steve Austin had a comment about surviving the stunner. I don't think he's happy with his move being kicked out of so much. So, I mean, that's just my opinion. People can say, oh, you know, you're looking at it too much, whatever, I don't care. As far as the Rumble is concerned, I thought Ty Dillinger coming out as number 10 was incredibly fake. I thought the whole Rumble came across incredibly fake. I actually think one of the funny things was the ramp was actually too long for the wrestlers. It seemed to throw out a lot of the timing of the guys in the ring and also the director. We've got a lot of spots for people just waiting. I thought there's a lot more they could have done with the story. The best thing for me coming out of the Rumble was Goldberg eliminating Lesnar. There's the money. Goldberg getting him again. And as far as Randy Orton winning, look, I can go either way on that. Doesn't really concern me. But I just thought I actually watched, again, the Royal Rumble 92 last night, and I thought that match was so laid out perfectly, and that's why a lot of people like it. And I think this year's too many people resting, too many people waiting for things to happen. I really didn't enjoy it. So, you know, that's just my thoughts.
Okay, Jason. Thanks for calling. Let's go ahead and unpack some of that. I don't think Charlotte and Bayley was better than Cena and Styles, but I understand where Jason's coming from. I think Jason, unlike Boris, would not enjoy New Japan World streaming service, Greg.
Yeah, that's true. Look, I like the Charlotte Bayley booking. I like the match. I liked how they booked it. I agree that Bayley should not have won the title on her first try. The money is definitely in the chase with her, absolutely. But she looked like she belonged, and that was big. She just, you know, the story was, you know, she looked like she belonged, but she just wasn't ready for that top spot. And I liked the move that Charlotte won the match with. I was totally fine with that. The kicking out of finishers thing and kicking out of big moves, I think everybody has their own threshold. For some people, it's a low threshold, like Jason, and it takes them out of the match immediately. For other people, they have a higher threshold, and, you know, maybe after 5 minutes of it, then it gets tiring. And there's some people who just love the drama of the near falls and everything that goes with it and are willing to accept it in a big match. So I think everybody has a different threshold of how much they're willing to take in those kind of matches.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to look at it. Let's see. I don't know. I can't agree with everything that Jason said, but I definitely respect his viewpoint. And that was a great finish to the Charlotte and Bayley match. I thought that looked legit. Okay, got one more VIP, Jason from Austin. You're on the live cast. Hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Driving home from the Alamo Dome, and I gotta say that Cena AJ match, the crowd, I've never been in an arena where a crowd was that into a match. It definitely, I don't know how I played at home, but it definitely worked for us. But just wanted to ask you, and I think you may have already addressed it with the last call, where do you think they're heading with the women's title at WrestleMania? Do you think they're going to go back to Charlotte and Bayley?
Yeah, actually, that is kind of where I think they're going. Bayley has to claw her way back to the top. They've got a while before Fastlane to build that up, and they'll get to it at WrestleMania, I suspect. Although they might do Charlotte and Bayley and Sasha in a three-way, we'll see. Greg,
I like the idea of Charlotte Bayley at WrestleMania with Bayley finally winning the big one there, snapping Charlotte's streak of winning on pay-per-view, but you got to look at Nia Jax, too. She beat Sasha Banks rather handily on the pre-show. Is she going to factor into WrestleMania somehow in that title picture?
That's a good question. they're definitely going to have to sort that. They you know, they've had some injuries on Raw, and they're probably going to need one or two more people called up. Can't believe they're taking that long to call Emelina up. Whatever they're doing with her, that must not be, whatever they have planned for her must not be very good, is my guess.
I think that's a good guess.
Okay. Anything else, Jason?
Thank you. No, that's it. Thank you a lot, Pat.
All right. Take care, man. Let's see how quickly we can get through the rest of these. Who is this? 832 area code. Oh, no, we are. Well, 832 area code. One more chance. Yes, are you there? Hello? Hello? That's a negative there. Okay, off you go. 802 area code. Hello. You're on the show. Going once. Going twice. Yeah, sold. Greg, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, good. Let's see. Okay, this next one is Dan from Illinois. Dan, you're on the live cast. Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going well.
I liked two-thirds of the Rumble match. Once it got past number 20, I was like, okay, when's Brock, when's Goldberg, when's Undertaker coming out? And it kind of dropped off for me after that. Orton was a huge surprise. I don't know. It kind of killed the excitement for me going into Mania season. And where do you see Wyatt and Orton going from here?
I think they're going to break up. I think they'll have that match at WrestleMania. It seems like Greg and I were talking earlier. It seems off. It doesn't seem like it seems like they should be tighter than ever after teaming up against Harper. Greg?
Yeah, and you know, Orton Wyatt feels like I've talked about this throughout the show. It feels like a WrestleMania match. This doesn't feel like something you blow off at Elimination Chamber or that you blow off. You know, at the show after WrestleMania, the way they've been setting it up on SmackDown, it just feels like it was meant for a WrestleMania blow-off. Now, in most of these feuds, they don't blow it off in one match, so we maybe get the first match at WrestleMania and subsequent rematches after that, something like that. But at least one of the matches, it feels like it's bound and destined for WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Got to agree with that.
Yeah, we do. Is Randy Orton going to challenge for a title? Or I really don't want to see Orton Cena again.
No, I mean, I'm sure there's people who haven't watched wrestling, you know, for more than 3 years who are intrigued by it, but those of us who are around in 2013 and 2012 and 2011, we got our fill of Orton versus Cena, and don't need to see that again anytime soon. So I hope you're right.
Yeah, Orton is pretty much the same worker he was back then. The difference, I think, is Cena, even from then, has improved by working with a variety of different guys, and Cena's a little bit of a different worker than he was even 10 years ago, whereas Orton, I think, is pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Final thing, is Shinsuke coming up, or was that just kind of a teaser when he lost the title?
I think he'll be up after WrestleMania. I think Joe's going to come up first.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, guys. And we'll talk to you guys next time.
All right, we will do this again in a couple of weeks. I think that's it for live calls. Just a couple things we want to get done here. Our friend Lawrence from Australia. Hi, Pat and Greg. Do you think Orton versus Cena is WWE's attempt to replicate the Federer versus Nadal tennis match? The two greats. I'm going to say no, Greg.
Yeah, I don't see Vince being a big tennis connoisseur, so I'm not sure he even knows who those people are.
Let's see. Jason from Austin sent an email. Why did they need to take the title off of AJ Styles? Because they needed John Cena to have it. Because AJ Styles, they're not going to put AJ in a top match at WrestleMania. I'm hoping they have room for AJ and Finn Balor. I would be more than happy with that. I think there's a definite potential there. Let's see here. Just see a breakdown. Okay. Anthony, Australia, what do you see happening with the Universal title at WrestleMania? Again, that's well, there you go. Not going to be Reigns and Undertaker, I don't think. Well, maybe it is.
Do you do Owens Jericho?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess if they break up at Fastlane, you can do that. I'm perfectly okay with that, actually.
Yeah. There were people thinking Jericho was going to win the Rumble tonight and eventually challenge Owens for the title. So it gets you there, but in a different direction.
They were playing into that. Yes. Last note from the chat room. Pounder says, Pat and Greg, give us your Super Bowl picks before you go. Okay. I think New England wins, but it's probably closer than people are going to expect. Greg?
I'll go Patriots 37-20.
Okay. I just have a hard time picking against. I'd like for Atlanta to win. I'm just having a hard time picking against England in Super Bowls for some reason. Yeah. Okay. That's going to do it for our portion of the evening. Greg, it's always a pleasure, and we're going to do this again in 2 weeks following the Elimination Chamber. VIP members, hopefully the roundtable is up by now. It's always a pleasure doing this, Greg. As for the rest of you, if you are not a PW Torch VIP member, there's somebody is going to come on the line here in a few seconds and tell you all about the wonders of VIP membership. And join us tomorrow after Raw. Wade Keller will be here to break down the whatever happens in that 3 hours and 15 minutes. We will talk to you then.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com. And that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
And when you hit pwtorch.com/govip, don't forget the code 17Rumble, which gets you a month of the PW Torch for VIP for 99 cents. Try it out. Hopefully you'll like it. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Top guys out.